glory will fill the earth like waters of seas.
True nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
I want to begin by asking us a question. I asked this young man in the morning when we were coming. I just asked him that, who is the most powerful man in this nation? Just give me answer. I'm not talking about just in Nigeria as a system, as a government, as a people. Who is the most powerful? Okay, he said the president. I think he said something similar, but he was, he said the president. Okay, let me not mention what he mentioned. Let me just sample from us. But he said the president. Who else? Does anyone have anything contrary? Eh? Just tell me what is in your mind. Eh? Okay, somebody even said Obasanjo. That's the ex president now. So who else is directly related to what? Somebody said the head of a terrorist organization. Okay, Shekau. Okay, who else? If we go to, okay, let's say Femi, you are not answering. Say you gave answer today in the when we're coming. Okay, he said probably the richest man or the president. Okay, all right. Since you are streaming it,
I'm looking at a kingmaker. I'm talking about those that even have place over the president and causes what is upon their heart to come to pass in the nation through the president. So if we say the president is the most powerful man, I mean, I will not classify as king and do and undo. I don't know.
But then we say the kingmakers. He was not specific. I say it was the single most powerful seat. Okay, by application, if we want to go to Ghana, without stepping to Ghana or maybe South Africa or United States, the single most powerful seat in that nation. Praise the Lord. We have gotten into the heart of what we want to stir up tonight. We are believing the Holy Ghost to stir up tonight in our hearts, in our life, and over the body of Christ. Amen. So, by application, if we go to, let's say, the United States, the single... No, truth is applicable. So, if you want to see the richest man, it's okay, the richest man in America. Abi, talk about the economy. If you want to talk about the president, see the president... If you want to talk about their senate, see the senate or something like that. So, all right. Last of all, let me ask. They are all interrelated questions. The final authority. What is the final authority in this nation? But shall I say the Supreme Court, right? Who else? You say the Chief Justice. Praise the Lord. You say I brought us right to the heart of the answer. So tonight I'll be speaking on judges. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll be speaking on judges, and then I will also talk about kings. I'm talking about kings and judges. Amen. Kings and judges. You see, if you look at scriptures, and if you look at take an analogy from one or two analogy from the Bible, so we understand our role on earth. You know, our role in this nation, and then in what God is doing, and then our calling too. You see, God, from the beginning, God willed and God ordained judges. Praise the Lord. You see, the order of kings in the Bible, the first reference to kings in the Bible is Genesis 14. Remember when they went to make war? Amen. When they went to make war, and then... eventually, they ended up warring with the father of faith, Abraham. Abraham, that's when the five kings and the four kings went to war. So, even when Israel was one man, even when God's nation was one man in Abraham, you see, the world system, they already have who? They already have king. Praise the Lord. So, that pattern of operation, that pattern of order, where did they get it from? Amen. Where did they get that pattern from? Kings. They already had kings governing. They already have kings administering, you know, justice on earth. Even when God had not formed his own nation, Israel has not become a nation. Israel was one man on earth. The world system, the world order, they already had kings. Pattern is from Satan. Order is not from God. Praise the Lord. You know, so they already had kings, and then God started with Abraham, you know, Abraham made him a nation, you know, the story of the captivity, and brought them out and then gave them laws and order and constituted them into a nation. And then God was ruling his people with judges. God ordained judges to rule his people. There's a whole lot of a difference between a king and a judge. Praise the Lord. So God was administering justice. God was governing and ruling. You see, I was telling from the house, I don't like night vigil because people will be tired. Sometimes you can't just beat nation. Guys, I've been here since morning, doing stuff and everything. Eventually, 50% of people will be tired. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for recording you, to listen to the recording later. You know, so I just follow me. I will say certain things and then you will get the whole analogy very clear. So I say God constituted judges to rule the land. You see Joshua, you see all of those people. Even then, at a point, Israel said they wanted a king. And God was very, very angry. And then he warned them, he told them, you know the story, you guys are ministers, so I'll just on and on, then I'll enter certain other things I want to discuss, and then open some certain scriptures. You see, God was visibly angry when they asked for a king. One, they said they wanted to be like the nations, they wanted somebody that will fight their battles and everything, you know. And then God said they have not just rejected, you know, Samuel was the one that was governing them, and Samuel himself was the judge in Israel. And then they say the king will take your people, he's going to live like the way kings live today. To take your sons and daughters, he'll make them confessionaries, he'll make them his servants, take your land, you take this. They told them, they say, no, we still wanted a king. And then God said, okay, make for them a king. And then God himself got them a king. Praise the Lord. Please wake your neighbor, be your brother's keeper. You know, so God gave them a king in Saul. And then he told them the manner of life the king was going to live. On and on, we had that story continue like that. Then Israel had a total of 42 kings. They had a total of 42 kings. You know, Israel was later divided into the northern and southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had Israel, Samaria, Judah, the southern kingdom. Both of them had 19 kings. And, of course, then there was a woman for Judah, that Athaliah. You know, that seized the reign of leadership. You know, seized the reign of leadership and became a king. That's 1919, that's 38, right? Plus, if you add Athaliah, that's how many? 39. Then you now had three kings that rule, that govern both Israel and Judah together. You had Saul, you had David, you had Solomon, right? Three. So if you add that, you had 42 kings. Praise the Lord. You know, but in this 70-year captivity, God judged that entire dispensation of kings. A lot of things happened in that 70-year captivity. God judged that entire dispensation of kings and returned them back to judges. Praise the Lord. You know, God returned them back to judges. I said there's a whole lot of difference. He said, when God raised the judge, you know, let me tell you the wisdom of kings, you know. When God raised the judge, now, for you to be a judge, you have to be anointed. Then God will raise the judge, and then God will anoint the judge, and then they will administer justice in Israel. But anybody can become a king. You know, I was telling us about wisdom. You know, Satan too is wise. Wisdom. If you look at the description in Ezekiel, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 22. You know, under the dispensation of judges, when God was ruling the land with judges, God will raise the judge. And then God will anoint that judge. You cannot be a judge without the anointing. And without being raised. But anybody can be a king, you know. And ultimately, that system system of kings, you know. Kings, don't worry, you say king of kings, I will explain it, you know. That system of kings, you know, is so easy. And Satan will use it, you know. Can anybody, in fact, most of the kings, you see them coming through rebellion. Through rebellion, you can become a king. You kill the next king and you become a king. But you cannot be a judge in Israel like that. You have to be raised. If you look at Eli, you know, he became a judge. Then Samuel, he saw the way God raised up Samuel. He saw those judges that God was willing, raising judges. God was raising them to exercise authority and dominion in Israel. You know. And God had the liberty to raise up the judge anywhere. Anyone that yield and respond to him, you know. He can raise up the judge from this town, can raise him from another land, those that respond to him. But under the system, under the governance of kings, a king will die, then the son automatically becomes the king, true or false. You know, like that. So even by insurrection, you can do a rebellion. Look at you kill this king and you become the next king. You saw all those men, all those things in Israel. The first king of Israel was a mess, and the last king of Israel was a mess. Praise the Lord. If you look at, I told about the 42 kings. Even those 19 kings in Israel, and in the southern, in northern Israel, all the 12 kings in northern Israel, all of them were evil kings. Then in southern Israel, Judah, they had about 19 kings. You see, 8 of them were good. Say, you know, he did good and he served God in their days. Then about the remaining one were evil kings. And I told that God, in the 70-year captivity, God joined that dispensation of kings. Praise the Lord. Because the life a judge will live and the life the king lived, they are two different lives. The judges live the same life of a common man. They were always one with the people. They were always one with the people that they were leading. Praise the Lord. They were one with the people that they were leading. Their lives were not different. Okay, remember all the judges. Just picture the life of all the judges in Israel and then picture the life of the kings. Picture the life of the kings. All of the pomp. You know, even when Jesus himself came, he lived the life of the judges. He was one with the people he was leading. And he lived the life of a common man. But even in the midst of all of those things, he executed God's counsel perfectly. Praise the Lord. In the midst of it, he executed God's counsel, you know. On and on, you saw those the way those men were living. Then, you know, don't forget, I said that, you know, those kingly you saw in the Bible that, you know, Satan used it to assess Israel. You know, when they started, of course, he used it to women, Solomon and his wives. When he started disobeying God, he started disagreeing with God, you know, following God's order. You know, the wives, don't forget that the Bible always talk about the seed of the woman. You know, the woman, they carry the seed. You know, when he brought those women, they brought their gods and everything. You now saw the fullness of it in the reign of Jezebel. You know, and that's how those spirits invaded Israel and then they divided Israel. You see, it was a very complex operation. They divided Israel into two kings, eventually broke up Israel. And you saw Jezebel, when you see the fullness of that manifestation, he first of all went after the prophets. You see, that's why God began raising. That's why he said all those 400 years of prophetic silence. It's not as if there was, you know, God reverted back to judges. You know, some of those prophets, you see, God raised those prophets. You see, Jeremiah, I am ordaining you to pull down, to root out, to destroy. And I asked us in the morning, what was he destroying? What was he pulling down? You know, he said to root out, to pull down, to destroy. And eventually, Jeremiah was the last prophet that sent them into captivity. But when they returned, they returned back and God reverted back to ruling Israel with judges. He began raising people like Zerubbabel. You know, began raising people like Daniel. But they were no longer kings. That's what we refer to as 400 years of prophetic silence. God raised up those prophets to war with that order and that dispensation. And don't forget, he said to build and to plant. You know, and then you know that God was still raising judges in Israel. All those, what we call 400 years of prophetic silence. God was still raising men. As at the time they gave birth to Christ, you know, from that Malachi to that Christ. As at the time they gave birth to Christ, you still had judges in the land. You still had people like Simon, Abby? Simon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. You still had people like Anna, you know. And God raised up men like that, who still administer justice, you know, and then administer the order and the dispensation of God on the earth. Beginning from the likes of Abraham, you hear them, you know, some of those priests also were also judges. Abraham was a judge, you know. Through them, God administered his order. And God administered his pattern. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and I asked us that, you know, if he, okay, that when I was asking that, I told us the first revelation of God is a creator. And in the redemptive age, the first revelation of God that was given is a creator. And the last revelation of God that was given is the judge. That's Revelation 3, where you hear about the judgment seat of Christ. It was the last revelation in the redemptive scripture, the last revelation that was given that God is a what? He said, what did I say? He's a judge. That revelation is me to read 19, Revelation 20. talk about the judgment seat of Christ, the earth and the heaven disappeared from his presence, and the books were opened, the great and the small, all were judged out of the things that were written in the book. Then the new order, the new eternal age began in Revelation 21, to administer his counsel and his will. And I was telling us something about, those kings talk about lifestyle. They also talk about lifestyle. Let me give you an example. The president, a judge does not stand, judges don't stand before kings. I'm not talking about those order of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's just use our present order. A judge does not stand before kings. Kings stand before judges. Hope you are aware. Kings stand before judges. You know, if you leave the judgment seat, you can only go to another judgment seat. And when you get to the supreme judgment seat, that is the final bus stop. There's nowhere else to go. Like your president now, he can stand before judges. Hope you are aware. You are aware. But hope you know that judges don't stand before kings. A judge can only stand before another judge. So I'm just using that order to make you understand. You see, if you want to cleanse the land, cleanse the judges. If you want to cleanse the land, cleanse the judges. All of those things you see. Okay, let me give you an example now. The Supreme Court, like you mentioned. You remember 2015 when they did governor election. Everybody went, all the politicians gathered themselves and went to the Supreme Court. They said they just announced judgment. They did not give any reason. They said they were explained later. They said they were explained after 11 days or so. I don't know how many of us follow the story then. Reverse election, so many elections. And that was the end. Nobody raised any question. The final authority in the land is the highest power in the land. True or false? The final voice in the land, after they speak, nobody else speaks again. And nobody contends with what they are saying. So your chief justice will be more powerful than your president. So if the president, for instance, now, that's why I gave us the judges regulate the ruler, the governance of kings. You see where you are coming in, I'm gradually bringing it to us. Judges regulate how kings rule in the land. You see, when Donald Trump became president, before he knew, he was writing his executive orders. Before you know, some ordinary, I tell you that if you clean the judges, you clean the land. Anybody can take it. They took it to the judges. They squash. He said, no, so Arab, so Muslim countries should not come to the United States. I don't know how many of us follow the story. They took it to the court and the court squash. Yes, they are more powerful. The court squash everything. He did another one again, they squash it, he amended it like that. He took it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, what to call judicial precedent. They make laws within laws. And even the laws of the land, they interpret it. I'm gradually showing all the life of a believer. Amen. I say they regulate governance in the realm. The American Supreme Court modify it and then passed it. Remember the issue of gay law? It was a big debate in America. The big debate, the pro and the against and everything. What did Obama do? Obama circumvented the Senate. He didn't go to the Senate. They took the matter straight. If there was nothing like that in the Constitution, everything. They took the matter straight to the judges, straight to the Supreme Court. And then the American Supreme Court voted 5-4. And then gay law became a right in the United States. That's how they got it. Praise the Lord. Even the president himself was helpless. They pushed the matter to the Supreme Court and then they gave judgment. They gave justice. And they gave a decision. How they call it? Judgment. They gave judgment. And today, gay law is a gay right, Abby. Gay something now is now legalized, fully legalized in America. You see all those European nations, abortion law, they push it to the courts. And then there they give decision. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, if you see, of course, everybody knows Donald Trump. If I ask you the head of this, the justice system in America, I'm sure maybe one or two of us may know, but virtually anybody will not know. Amen. Praise the Lord. But all of us know Donald Trump and all of those, yes, those are the visible power. But why the visible power? But we also have people that regulate those powers. Yes. All of the courts, they interpret the law. They interpret. Judges don't make law on their own. They interpret or they enforce what is written. Praise the Lord. Can you read Psalm 149? Let's look at Psalm 149. And then, I was talking about lifestyle. So I will bring it to married and then we look at some things there. Okay, who is reading it? Okay, all right.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let our saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chain, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
To execute, the judgment has already been written, right? And what are they going to do? They execute and they enforce it. Praise the Lord. So, I want to announce to us that we are judges. We are not kings. In the context of the way the world interprets kings. Yes, even kings in under kingdom reality, you see, the rendering of kings under the kingdom is different. Praise the Lord. You know, in the world system, we have kings and subjects, right? And so many times, so many of us envisage that kind of life. We have kings and subjects, but in the kingdom, we don't have kings and subjects. Everybody is a king. So under the kingdom, we have kings relating to kings. That's why they say he's the king of kings. Everybody is a king. You know, and I say that, you see, God uses everything. Even this flesh, though God did not create this flesh like this, you know, but God has still used it. So even that order was not from God. God still worked under that order. He used that order, and after some time, he judged it. And that judgment was the 70-year captivity of Israel. He judged that entire dispensation of kings. And even though he used it for a season, you say Jesus is the king of kings. I don't say Jesus is king of kings. That means within the kingdom, everybody, that just like Nigeria, now everybody is a king. Like, it's like a king relating to a king. So he's the king of kings, not in the rendering of the world system, king and subjects. Praise the Lord. Kings and subjects. I told you the first reference of kings, they went out to war. And the last reference of kings in the Bible, they also went out to war with the lamb. That's from Genesis 1. You know, when I say redemptive scripture, I say Genesis 1 to Revelation 20. I'm leaving out Revelation 21 and 22. So the last rendering of kings, they also went out to make war with the lamb, the kings of the earth. Praise the Lord. So he said to execute the judgment that was written, you know. And I tell you that, for instance, now, if you see a king now, if a king, you know, king, they always live in the fullness of their power. They always live in their full power, even on a daily basis. But judges don't live like that. Judges live the life of a normal people. Will you see a judge in chop right? Let's use the, you know, sometimes you see the things you see around you explain spiritual truth. Yes. Will you see a judge in chop right, shopping with his full regalia? You can only see, it's only kings, because they carry their pomp everywhere they go. If a king and a judge live on a street, like for instance, now, maybe see, if your president is living on this street, even if your chief justice of the nation is living on this street, you may not even know that the chief judge is there, but everybody will know that the president is there. Not only in this place, everywhere you know that the president is there. I remember the day Goodluck came to this town, when the president came. You know, I was here that time, so that was 2015 or 14. He came. This place was a lockdown. I don't know how many of us was in Akure that time. The whole place was a lockdown. But I'm sure when your chief justice comes, nobody will know anybody's around. Praise the Lord. You know. So every day kings, they go about with their, even if you see, go to this or by law, these Akure kings, anywhere they go, you know, they go with their full regalia. They go with their full costume. You know. Like that. Pomp. You know. Pomp. But I say judges live what? They live a normal life. It's only when they stand in their office, you now see them, they wear their, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then I also let you know that judges rule from the back office. You know, I was telling you this morning when God told Jeremiah, he said, I have ordained you, you know. Jeremiah was a prophet and was a judge, you know. He said, yes, prophet, judge, there are priests that were also, Samuel was a priest and he was also a judge in Israel. Jeremiah told us, even when they had kings, you know, they had kings in Israel in the days of Jeremiah. But God told Jeremiah that I have put my words in Jeremiah 1, I have put my words in your mouth. you know, I have put my words in your mouth, and this day I have set you over the nations and over the kingdom. You know, over the nations and over the kingdom to plant, to root out, and then to build, and to build, and then to plant, to root out, to destroy, to throw out, and then to build, and then to plant. But you had kings in Israel, you know, you had the visible people that were running around, but Jeremiah was the one that was regulating the life in Israel, you know, when the divine purpose and agenda was concerned, and even their physical life, because all of them went into captivity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can see that judges, they rule from the back office. And some of us, we are going to be content in life ruling from the back office. Judges rule from the back office. They say they regulate, they regulate how things go. You know, look at Elijah. Israel had a king. But you know that Elijah was the one governing the land. They had their own things they do and all of those. So you must understand that system. We are not going to take over the world, let me tell you. Yes. You know, we have the sun, we have the moon. The king is not around. The king is coming. Until the king comes. So if we have that mentality, you are going to and all of those things. So why, that's why I take time to explain to us kings and judges. Kings, you know, and judges. So that, you know, what we have in mind and all of those things now begin to mix, you know, the way God will run his own system and the way the world runs his own system. You know, we're going to see the show in the world and all of those things. He said the darkness will run its course. You know, and also the light will run its course. But the king is coming. Until the king comes to take center stage. And when Jesus was preaching, he was telling about a time will come that the avalanche of evil that was going to be unleashed in the world. Even a time will come that it will even look as if the saints will not be able to stand. The evil, he said, evil men and seducers will work stronger. So the two are going to run parallel. That's why I say judges, they rule from the back office. But don't forget, they regulated the land. They regulate even how kings rule. You see those days, when they had prophets, you see when they had kings, you see the ministry of the prophets. Even that, in those kingly, when we had those king orders, those kingly dimensions, you saw the way the prophets were governing. You saw Elisha. You know, my father, the chariots of Israel. You saw how those men were ruling during the days of Ahab. You know, while Elijah was still enforcing God's will. You know, was still enforcing God's rule over the nation. Praise the Lord. You know, even so, and I told that through that instrument of king, Satan was able to wield authority in Israel. He can't do that. If we had judges in Israel, it's only through the dispensation of kings. Because your father died, whether you know God or you don't know God, you automatically take the throne. And that's why from day one, you can see why God was so angry with that order. With that system. And don't forget, they copied it from the nation. And where I asked us, when I said, where did that wisdom come from? Of kingship. But for a judge, God will raise that judge and anoint that judge. One by one, begin to look at before that time, till after that time. Then when we look at when they were in the captivity, God raised up the Daniel. God raised up a Daniel, and then Daniel began to war. You know, began to war and began to engage the heavens. You know, that which was written. You know, Daniel was a judge. And then God now used Daniel and some other person. You see, in the days of captivity, God raised up a lot of them. You know, all of those. Even in the midst of the captivity, you saw, you know, Ezekiel tell us in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 25th year of our captivity, the word of God came to me. And even then, God was still administering his counsel and his will. But God was not doing it through kings. Today, what do we have now? You know, I told you that king is a lifestyle. Today, now, in that order, when they got kings, God still has some kings. They were kings on the throne, but they lead the order of judges. Because David was a priest on the throne, and David was a judge. He was a judge of Israel. That's why he said this is the last word of David. He that ruled over men was the just, ruling in the fear of God. That's 23 now, 2 Samuel 23. He said, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, this is the last word of David. Say, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling the fear of God. Even in that kingly order, God still raised up judges in their midst. And now, the New Testament is administered by judges. Those fivefold ministries you saw in Ephesians 4, they are judges. But there's, you know, and as usual, don't forget, when Satan had his own order of kings, in the midst of that order, God raised judges. And now when God has ordained judges, in the midst of judges, Satan is raising kings. Praise the Lord. Yes. Satan is raising king because there are some judges that are living as kings. And I told you it's a lifestyle. The Ephesians 4, the New Testament is administered by judges. I say Jesus himself. Don't forget Jesus was a king. But how was he living? There was no paraphernalia of kingship. Jesus was a king. On all this, that Jesus was trekking up and down. Even themselves are acknowledging that king of kings. He was a king. But look, I told you that kingship and judge is a lifestyle. It's a part is also a lifestyle. Jesus was a king, but look at the manner and the order that he lived. He lived. Then he now had the disciples he raised and gave them authority. You know, king, we'll talk about authority. What we call authority is all refers as king. You know, then he raised up those disciples, gave them authority, they had authority. You know, the full weight of his authority they had. But those men also, look at Paul. He said, to the meek I become like the meek, to this I become like this. Look at the kind of life that they lived. But today we have people that have been given that same authority and they want to live like kings. They are living, in fact, they are living like kings. So even within the church fold, now Satan is raising kings. He's raising kings out of judges. Praise the Lord. So don't be carried away by your senate, by your senate, by your president, your governor, your all of the big names. Praise the Lord. The saints of the Most High, he said, they regulate, that's why light, the whole light governs the realm of life, right? Hope you are aware. The solar, the sun, everything revolves around the sun. Light, He said, ye are light in the world. So even this nation is in the hand and the dispensation of the saints. And by the time the king comes, we are going to take center stage. We are going to take the front line. But until the king comes, praise the Lord, we are reflecting his authority, his power, but we are ruling from the back. You know the story of America. It was the church that a prophet rose up after they saw all of those nonsense in Obama era. Well, they rose up. Prophets, they rose up. The church rose up and said, no, enough of this nonsense. We're going to put a hold to it. American church began praying. Prophets began prophesying. And that's why Trump came from nowhere. Nowhere. He didn't come from the Republican establishment. One man to tell you the power. You see, something, you see, God leaves himself with witnesses on here. Sometimes we don't even see it. Nigeria to has his own witnesses. Obasanjo came from prison and became president. You see, God can push you there. What you do becomes your own. Hope you are aware. You saw the way you ordained judge kings in Israel. He will call one man and say, Jeroboam, Solomon is misbehaving. Come and take the kingship. He went and started doing his own priest. Abi, was it not God that ordained him? Ahijah. And all of those, they were the ones that ordained them. So what you do, even Nigeria has its own witnesses. In this nation, we had a man that never considered an election in a democratic setting and became our president. From becoming governor, from governor to President Jonathan. Even if you see the way, things have been running in this nation. From Obasanjo, they had to call him from prison, like that. So as one man, Trump came and swiped the whole Republican establishment. All the Republicans, all the major strongholds, all the former president were against him. But that man, he won the primary, went on to win the general election. Praise the Lord. And some of the early things he began doing, started correcting some of those things that Obama did, or some of those people that were putting in prison people because they would not make cake for gay people and all of those. He started reversing, that order. So some God leaves himself with witnesses on the land. Praise the Lord. Are we together? A lot of us are battling with sleep. I said I will tell you, next time you want to do this kind of meeting, don't put it in the night. And don't put it in. Now, sometimes we do night meeting, but because of maybe the nature of our work and all of those things like that. But outside of that, if you have time, except you want to put prayer session and like that, even if it's a 30-minute teaching, people will sleep at night. After a heavy day, some have gone to work, some have a busy day. It's understandable. So if you really want to get the best, sometimes early in the morning or during the day and all of those times, you can do it, but if it's a meeting of a multitude of people, like the meeting I came for when I spoke about the spirit of wisdom in, I told you now, virtually most of people were still, because they have been in camp, I know camp, rigorous activity like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to hear our echo. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Yes. Because when you say you are a judge, when you say you are a king, and you look around yourself, you are not seeing anything that had the similitude of influence. You've not seen anything that had the similitude of power like your governor has, He can speak. No, you know, but our own is a different kind of system. We are here to establish divine ordinances. We enthrone the divine will on earth. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on what? On earth, as it is in heaven. We have the kingdom, we have things being done, but until the king comes. You cannot have a kingdom without the king. He said, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's when the king comes. But before he comes, you know, why is he warring soldiers? Enthroning his will, preparing the ground for him. John the Baptist, he said, was a herald. I said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Until the king himself physically came into the temple. Until the king himself physically walked into the end. Look at all those men tried, but the work of redemption was not done. Yes. The strong man was not bound until Jesus literally walked here in the flesh. And then he bound the strong man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So until the king is coming, and then we establish his rule and his government. But before then, we are holding forth. Praise the Lord. We are holding forth. And the things we are doing, they are not, don't misinterpret them. Don't misinterpret them. The sessions we are having, you know, the things we are doing, the words we are speaking, don't misinterpret them. Those words regulate the land. You say, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So many times you say, you are complaining and everything. Okay, good and fine. What if you remove the saints from Nigeria? What happens in this nation? You know, you are complaining, this nation is because of the evil that you are seeing. You know. But what if you remove, the saints? If you remove the measure of light? Okay, you say, look at these people here, this and that, like this and that. Okay, maybe you look at some of all this and that. Okay, what if you remove, even myself, okay, look at me. What if you remove Christ from my life? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you just remove Christ from my life, I won't be faithful in marriage. Amen. For Charles. And so many of us here. You know? So that's why you must always, you know, sometimes we don't, you know, really appreciate the things that God does and the things around. But sometimes look at the other side of the fence. The other side of the fence. The other side. Someone maybe got married, you think the husband is not trying enough. Remove Christ from his life. He has never lifted up his hand against you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you'll have said, in these 7 years of marriage, this man has laughed me like 30 times. But he has not lifted up his hand. You have no reason to lift up and say, Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for my husband. You know, thank you for all of those things. We must have gratitude in life. We must have gratitude. He said, we execute. The judgment is already written. That's why I said, judicial, they don't make their own laws. They execute. They senate to make law. The president will sign it. Then they go and drop everything on the lap of the judiciary. They are the one. After they drop it on the land of the judiciary, does the senate have a say again? The president, does he have a say again? It's called judicial discretion. Even when it's not explicit, it's not clear. They call it judicial discretion. Abi, is it not what they call it? You are a lawyer. Judicial discretion or something. Then when they now begin to do some cases, they say judicial precedence, Abi. And they say precedent has decided in this case. It's override the law. And here we are here to override the system of this life. Praise the Lord. The king has spoken, but we are here to change the king's word. Remember those four boys, those three boys? Nebuchadnezzar said, they have changed the king's word. Those men that they said they trusted in their God, they yielded their body, and they have changed the king's word. You know, part of the king's word, Job also changed it. He said, it's not possible to serve God. He said, touch his king. There are some very loud statements that Satan is making. But there is a generation that are here to change what? Yes, to change the king's word concerning your life, concerning your home, you know, concerning this nation. See, it's not just possible, you know. If you take away, he doesn't serve you for nothing. Take away everything he has, okay. He did that. He came again, touch a man who give anything from his king. He said, go ahead and do that. But Job proved him wrong. And Nebuchadnezzar too, the threat of death. He said, we will not serve you. We will not serve your God. Neither are we going to worship this golden image. God can deliver, even if he does not. At the end of it, Nebuchadnezzar said, they changed the king's word. You know, all those Old Testament, they are prophetic, you know. All of those things, they are prophetic images. There's a king's word in our day. Also in our age, in our generation. So you see, these are the rule, and these are the pattern of Jesus. So I want us to pray. I want to pray. And this is the office we're going to be stepping into fully. Fully. You're going to be living and operating like a judge. Nothing around him. Look, I told you the story of Jeremiah. Look at the way Jeremiah was living in Israel. Jeremiah was totally in charge. Even though there was nothing to show for it, I said, judges, they rule from the back office. They had their own king, they had their Zephaniah, Jeconiah, all the names, Zedekiah, call all the names you were calling. From one person, called another person, they have Gemaliah, all of the armies, you know, the armies, their share, all of those things. Jeremiah was one man, I don't think he has cutlass. But through the words of his mouth, Jeremiah was ruling in Israel. Israel, you know, Israel, nothing. Sometimes, look at the way they carried him, dump him inside the pit, remove him again, like that, they will, sometimes he was even going to one city. They say he was running away. They came and arrested him again, go and put him inside prison, all kinds of things. But that does not mean stop that he was still the judge. Praise the Lord. I say judges will regulate the atmosphere in the land. That's why in your own life you are a judge. Everything written and spoken about you will enforce and you administer it in your life. Moving from your life, coming to your home as a family, a lot of you that are not married, you still get married. You are the judge. You are the one sitting and regulating life. That's why I say to come into a place, you must bind the strong man. You become the strong man of your home. You are the one sitting on the judgment seat. Then coming to this nation, coming to this state, you know, that man, the body of Christ, is saying we are judges. And then we regulate kings. Praise the Lord. Regulate kings. I didn't mention it. I say God raised up the judges and anointed them by, you know, rulership in Israel, in God's nation, is by obedience. And that's the life of the judges. God will raise up a judge, you know, those that have raised up a judge, then he will anoint them by obedience. But kings, is basically, all of them, all of the kings in Israel, they came through rebellion. Through rebellion. This one is an evil king. You put his son there. All of them, I told you, all the northern kingdom, all of them were evil kings. Through rebellion, through that rebellion, you know, rebellion is Satan. You know, through satanic means, they seize the leadership of Israel. And then not just those ones, then Satan himself, you know, want to rule in Israel. And throughout what God was doing. That's why I say all those prophets, they were talking, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and God raised those prophets were warriors, they were warring with kingdoms. Don't forget that the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he said the image, you know, he said the gold, the silver, the brass, he said all of them were what? They were kingdoms. You know, he says, no, I saw a stone cut without hands, and then crashed all those systems. Those were kingdoms, and those were the prophetic order they were warring. And when God judged those order, that's why he didn't raise any loud prophets again. I say, all those who call prophetic silent, but God raised judges in the land. God, even Zachariah, that had John the Baptist himself, was a judge. He said, walking before the law of the Lord, blameless. So you can see all those prophetic silent, this and that, like that, as if God was not speaking. Who told you God was not speaking? Where did Anna came from? Where did Simeon came from? They just showed us those ones at the end, but those 400 years was filled with judges. Because God abolished the prophetic order. The king, the order of kings. And maybe that's why the choice of those prophets also reduced. You know, praise the Lord. So that is it. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre. Take up a lamentation against this. Take up a lamentation against this, you know. Meshach. You know, all of those things. You see, the other last one, God raised judges. They don't do all those things. So you see, the prophet too, apart from just speaking, prophesying, don't forget, he said they were destroyed, those kingdoms you saw. They war with those kingdoms and that order to pull it down and then to plant God's order, you know, and to plant and to build and then to restore the order of the judges. And then I told you, Jesus himself was a judge. He was Israel's judge. And he lived the life of the common people. He was one with the people. That is the stark characteristic of judges. If you see them, that's why they looked at Jesus. They couldn't even differentiate him. They wanted to come and arrest him. They don't even know who is Jesus. They needed one from his own inner circle to point at him that this one is Jesus. Amen. Because he had melted into the people. That's God's pattern. That's all order. Order. That's all God's order. So for those of us that think maybe the anointing will make you to be a very big man. Amen. And people will not have access to you. You know, he warned them before he gave them power. He said, all ye are what? Are brethren. Don't forget. You forget that lesson, you have forgotten your destiny. You see, all of you are brothers and sisters before he gave them power. Because he knew that power is going to elevate them. He said, don't forget this immortal truth. All you are what? All you are what? A brethren. He said, nobody should call you rabbi, teacher. All you are brethren. You are brothers and sisters. You know, that is the highest level of title. And before you are apostle and your bishop and your archbishop, we are brothers and what? Brothers and sisters. That's the highest level of relationship. Thank God for those offices. Thank God they come with their own blessing. But even in those offices, you know, the blood that is still flowing there is the blood of brethren. Because some of you, as by the time the oil on you grows now, there are some people, maybe some of people you pray together with today, now you'll not be able to eat together with them again. And that's why I must hand out note of caution. You won't be able to eat together with them again. Because you have become man of God. You know, you just stretch forth your hand and God bless you. Bless you. You know, you can't have fellowship together again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be able to have fellowship again. Bless you. And you are just blessing people up and down. There's a place for blessing, there's a place for fellowship. The age between, I have a daughter, maybe less than 2 weeks. The age between us is different. The difference between us is like the North and South Pole. But we still have fellowship. Even though there's no words. Yes, by the time I pick her in my hands and all of this, I understand her, some of her moves and everything. So that is just called fellowship. You put title aside. How many of you want to relate with your child? You are relating with your child as a minister. I'm a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I'm a senator. You with your own child. You know, as fellowship. Put title aside. You put title aside. You know, that is the thing you don't see in the order of kings. Praise the Lord. I want us to begin to pray. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to talk? Can you begin to pray? We're going to take some time to pray and to provoke some things over our lives. Over our lives. I think it was in NCCF I told them, understanding the anointing. I gave them the history and the genesis of the anointing, you know. And I told them the first mention of the anointing was Jacob. Jacob, listen. The first mention of the anointing was Jacob when they anointed those stones. Those stones. And then on and on, I think I also, you were there for me, that the first time hands were even laid. And the first medium to communicate the anointing was not through even laying on hands. The first medium to communicate it was through what? Through words. Yes. Through words. Jacob gathered his 12 sons and then he spoke into them and then distributed their eternal destiny to them. He said, Judah, Levi, this. He just, praise the Lord. So we must understand the anointing. Anointing. God is the one that is multifaceted. You know, praise. So the first medium, I think that laying on hands, even Abraham, you see those transfer. Those who they were transferring their heritage through words. Abraham is transferred to his son, to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. Even when he called Jacob the blessing and Esau, that time there was no oil as at that time. The anointing oil, there was no oil as at that time. So the thing, the communication was through words. So when he called Jacob and Esau, you know the tussle, he called him and then he spoke. You know, he felt his body and then he spoke into him. You know, he spoke into him. The first mention of oil was Jacob when he anointed those stones. Oil. But before then, you see how they did those transfer. You see two words. The words that is being spoken. That's why Jesus spoke to those men. He said, you're already clean, right? Because of the words that I have spoken to you. Just that word that Jesus was speaking to them. You know, this new creation that you are saying, I believe in Christ before you get it. By just Jesus speaking to them, they attain the new creation. He just speaking words. The import, because the sanctification in the world was able to sanctify into the new creation. Even when that order, you know, was not globally opened. You know, just hearing Jesus talking alone and they received those words in their heart. Because he said, he told the Father in John 17, the words that you gave me, I have given them and they have received it. In receiving that word, you know, that's why they got the new spirit and the new man. God changed their order. See, you're already clean. Just wait for you to receive the Holy Spirit. You see, you're already clean because of the words that I have spoken. I have spoken. Dating back to the first medium of, you know, of communication and transfer. You know, transfer of the anointing or the blessing, releasing the blessing through words. Even in Genesis 1, how did he transfer it? Did he lay hands on Adam? Adam, he spoke. He said, by the word of God, the universe was made in the first place. This thing called word is very powerful. Let me tell you, 90% of your life is going to revolve around the word that you speak. Even your marriage, thank God, you guys will soon get married. The atmosphere in the home will be created by, forget the money, thank God for the money you are bringing, the blessing God gives you. See, your home will be determined by 90% of it by the word that is being spoken in that home. Words created this whole world in the first place. It came out of word. It's a product of word. Praise the Lord. It's a product of word. This is called words. You know. That's why one time you listen to word, you listen to certain things, you know. In that word, there is communication, there is transfer. There's transfer. Words. God made the body of Adam, right? From dust, right? Made the body of Eve, not from dust. He made the body of, that one says another thing on his soul. He made the body of Eve from who? From a finished product, from Adam. He took a rib. Made the body of Eve from Adam. But he made the body of Christ, not from Mary, not from Adam, not from anybody. The physical, the flesh that Jesus came was a product of the world. It came out of the world. It came out of the world. The word became flesh. The word became flesh. It was sinless. If it came out of Mary, that seed or that original sin will be there. It was a product. He said the word became flesh. God set aside the humanity of Mary and then reproduced Jesus in the womb. You know, it was a product of the word. That's why when he told Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. The same very word that made the heavens and the earth. The same word you saw in Genesis 1. Let there be light and there was light. Let there be the firmament. He said, that same thing, I have dropped it in your mouth. Look at the weight that was in Jeremiah's mouth. That is how judges rule. Judges govern with the words of their mouth. He said, that same thing I put in. He said, God touched my, he said, the Lord touched my mouth in Jeremiah 1:9. He said, see, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And that was all. And what was the next thing? He said, I have this day anointed you. I have this day, can you see the anointing? I have this day anointed you, I have ordained you. He said, this day, today, now, I have set you over the nations and over the kingdom. God just put his word in his mouth. Son of God in his mouth. This is how judges rule. This is how judges administer justice. You know, see, I'm contending with something in our hearts and even in the spiritual. Don't just look at your life and look at your life plain and ordinary. You are nobody. You've not gotten a well-befitting job. You are still somewhere, you know, and all of those things. You are still believing God for life partner and all of those things. And then you zero your life. I'm contending with that in our spirit. So much power. He said, look at Jeremiah. Look at what I have put inside of your mouth. He said, the scripture I quoted to you in the morning. He said, what did he say? Isaiah 51 verse 16. He said, I have put my words in your mouth that I may plant the heavens and then lay the foundations of the earth. That's why he wrote it in your manual. That the new Jerusalem is going to be made up by structure. It's going to be built by us. The new Jerusalem that is coming. That heaven that I think is coming. You think you are going to sit down here escaping mentality and just escape into heaven. You are building it together with God. If you don't build it, others will rise up and build it. That's why the gate of that city is who? It's symbolic of men. The foundation of that city is symbolic of men. Even the measurement of that city, he said the city is the measurement of a man. Because that city will be built by men, walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. He said, I go to prepare a place as the man Christ. I go to prepare a place. I go to prepare it. It's not something God has it before. He's just going to bring. He said, I go to prepare it in the order of men, the man Christ. Even redemption, it was in the order of a man. It was the man Christ. The other, even redemption that we have, it's not as if he just came out of the throne. God just opened the throne and brought it. It was the order of man that did redemption. And even the glory that is going to come. The new Jerusalem. The city that is coming. So, you see, our lives is just beyond the things you are speaking. You are, even that thing, all these things you read inside Revelation, it is rolling out of the mouth of man. That's why we are judges. We are pulling down this, the system of this world. He said the government, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. Like that image that Daniel saw. We will dismantle that image of the world system, the world order, and then we will build another order. We are the ones that will do it. Don't look at the shoe that you are wearing. Don't look at the way you are sleeping. Doesn't matter whether you are sleeping on a mat. Praise the Lord. Where was Jesus sleeping? Where was he sleeping? Where was Jesus sleeping? Yet he did not diminish what he was saying. I am the light of this world. You don't even have a house, he's saying he's the light. Even where to sleep. He doesn't have money to eat. He even cannot even feed himself. Hope you know he was hungry. He went to meet a tree. And the tree refused to even respond. Praise the Lord. And they had their warfare there. Amen. They had their small mini battle there. Hope you know he was even thirsty. He was begging somebody for water. Water. Amen. All of those things. Does it diminish who he was? Does it diminish what he was saying? Does it diminish his understanding? Does it diminish that he was the judge? He said, while I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. Well, you know, you have all those kings, you know, living in king's palaces. They are pomp. What's his name? Herod. They were living like pomp. They were living large. And they were thinking that they were the one running the show, right? They thought they were the one running the show. He said, no, I'm the one running the show. They look at this man, must be a madman. What is he saying? You know, when I can readily dispatch soldiers to go and carry him. Yes, I can send soldiers to go and carry him. Even with everything that John the Baptist did, he brought a dispensation of God on the earth. Look at what he brought. How did these kings carried him and beheaded him? They felt they have won. But that does not diminish his testimony. Jesus made he said the kingdom began from John. He said from his days. The kingdom. So I want you to discountenance everything that you have seen. Somebody wants God to give you money to prove that your message is right. That yes, you know, to validate your money, to validate your message, your prosperity. You know, of course, those are peace. All those things are in God. But I'm telling you to rise higher. I'm telling you to rise up. You want a validation, and the validation are things. Things that you can touch, things that will melt with fervent heat. When the elements will be melted in 2 Peter, does not validate anything called God. God is a spirit. And God is the eternal being. That which is not eternal cannot validate him. Your new jet, your new car does not validate him in your life. Even though he gives you those things. But you must learn to look beyond those things. You must learn to see beyond those things. Your heart must be deep. That's what I'm saying. Your heart must be deep. We are judges. We administer the ordinance of God on here. Abraham was one man. Just moving. He doesn't have a house. He was living in tents. Even the Isaac heirs of the same promise. But that does not diminish who Abraham was. Abraham became a father, a pioneer. He brought God's ordinance on the earth. The earth had kings. They make mention of 9 kings in one reference. Just because they went to war. There were other kings on earth. Abraham was one man, one seemingly insignificant man on earth. But was he, looking back now, was he insignificant? Was he insignificant? We had kings. Kings that had dominions, that had domains. But Abraham was a judge. Judges are not pronounced, but they regulate the heartbeat of the earth. Abraham did not only regulate the heartbeat of the earth, he regulated the heartbeat of eternity. Because there was a place in eternity that is named after Abraham, called Abraham's bosom. Where were those king of Amraphel, king of Shinar? Where were they? So don't be deceived by your present kings. All of those kings running up and down, blowing siren and not have the vision of living a king's life. No matter the anointing, you know, you must live like a judge. It's there, it's all over your scripture, it's patterned. God had, you know, sometimes when God is telling you something, he has something else in mind. I told you God wanted to judge the order of kings, right? Those 70 years. You know, they say, you're seeing, you are not obeying me. Yes, but he judged that order. And it was the prophet that helped to bring that order about. God was not punishing Israel. I told you in the morning, he told Ahaz that I was going to give you a sign, a virgin to conceive, right? Ahaz was thinking something else, but God has something else in mind, right? That's it. That's how it works. He said, a virgin will conceive. I'll give you a sign. A virgin will conceive. I'll bring forth a son. And Ahaz was, I'm sure God will have given me a sign. One or two signs in his days to satisfy him. But God was thinking something else. God told Israel, I'm going to take you a land that flows with milk and honey. Luke 2. They said what he promised Abraham was not a land. What he promised Abraham was redemption. Yes, he said the promise given to our father Abraham, redemption. You know, that he will redeem them by sending forth his son Jesus Christ, you know, a light to the Gentiles and all of those things. So all the promise of land you have seen in the Old Testament, God was showing them a physical land. He gave them that land, but what was in God's eye was thinking about redemption. That was the land he was heading to. You know? Yes. He said the promise given to that, when they were talking, that the promise that had been fulfilled long years ago, Israel has gone into a nation. He said to fulfill, that's what Zechariah said, to fulfill his promise to our fathers, Abraham. You know, the promise of redemption. That's what was said in Luke, when they were giving birth to Christ. So what if that, of course, you said there, of course, you now begin to pause, started opening up, those men started opening up, that the promise given to our father Abraham, the seed of Abraham, not many seeds, but one seed. That was the promise. Your descendants. You can see it. So you can see where God is going. So who cannot follow God with carnal mind and carnal understanding? Carnal mind. You only is the spirit that validates the spirit. What did I say? God, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Where was he justified? He was justified what? In the spirit. It's not those miracles that Jesus was doing up and down. He was justified right in the spirit. It's not all those things that validated him. He was justified in the spirit. So he's the spirit that will validate spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, so that you don't look at your life, nothing has been done, this and that. Okay, well, God, what is my purpose, my ministry? And you see the strength of the ministry is growing. Invitation up and down. Thank God, build and beautiful, you know. like that. Some of us will do that kind of, even that, you should not see it. You should learn to look beyond that. Some means that we just started six years ago and we're all over everywhere. You know, some say there are certain things you must rise above. Can you begin to pray to your Father? Pray to your Father. I told us about the anointing, the first medium of communicating the anointing and transfer to words. Can you begin to speak? Can you begin to speak and begin to step into your office? The fullness of your office. This is an impartation service, impartation meeting. Impartation hour. Can you begin to speak from your spirit? Utterance. He said, he that speaketh in an own tongue, speaketh mystery. He's speaking out unto God. Can you begin to speak ancient things from your spirit? Ancient things from your spirit. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You walk into a place, you tell them you are in charge. They will first of all look at the car that you drove. Or did you enter Okada? We are not looking at those things. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Malekata, Ebekata, Malekoko, Belekete, Malekada, Ebabalakada. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, Mekata. In the name of Jesus, Malakata. Thank you, Father, Matata. We are judges. We live after the order of judges. We administer your will. We enjoy your counsel. Oh, we bet your kingdom, we bring it forth from age to age, generation to generation. Kings rule, judges are the minister of justice. Yahweh, we are here. Your sons are here, your judges are here. In the name of Jesus, Ebakata. In the name of Jesus, thank you. In the name of Jesus, Mekata, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Malekata, Bekata. Amalekata, Ebekete. In the name of Jesus, Malekoto, Ebekete, Balekete, Ebekete, Balakoto, Belekete, Amalakata, Mahokoto, Belekete. In the name of Jesus, Mangana, Ebekete, Belekete, Balakata. thank you, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, oh Father. Babakata, pray, pray, pray. Pray! Pray, speak! 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 Judges only have one equipment, their mouth. The words of their mouth. The words of their mouth. Judges administer justice. Administer justice enforces laws by their mouth. Say, Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. And by that I have ordained you, have anointed you over the nations and over the kingdom. Judges you rule by the words of your mouth. By the ordinances of your mouth. In the name of Jesus. Mekotope. Ebebekete. Abalakada. Ekoko. Bolokoto. Balakada. But Jeremiah, God put that word in his mouth. But for us in the new covenant, God has put that word in our spirit. So speak from your spirit. Speak forth from your spirit. We speak forth from our spirit. Say, I put my words in your mouth. Isaiah, I put my words in your mouth that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. Isaiah 51, verse 21, verse 16. But for us under the new covenant, God has put his word in our spirit. Speak, 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 speak from your spirit. Speak the word of life. Speak the word of power. Speak the eternal counsel of God. And enforce it in the realm of life. Over this age, over this generation. Enforce it, the kingdom of this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The dimension you roll out of the walls of our mouth, thy kingdom come, that will be done. Oh, mouth. Oh, mouth. Oh, mouth. In the Supreme Court, it's going to be our mouth. Our mouth. What we close this age is judgment. And so the last revelation of God in redemptive scripture, Revelations 20, is the judge. Revelations 19, Revelations 20. God sees as judge. Judge. That's the operation that we close this age and bring in a new age. For judgment, I have come into this world. For judgment, so that the blind we see, and those who see we become blind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you pray? Can you speak to your Father? Can you speak? Can you speak? Can you speak? Can you speak? He said, for judgment. For judgment I have come. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? He said, for judgment I have come. I said, the last revelation of God in this age is going to be the judge. The judge. The last revelation of God that we close this age. That we close this age in Revelations 19 and 20 is the judge. The judge. The judge. The judge. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world. For judgment. That the blind we see, and those who see we become blind. Judgment. Judgment. Judgment.
judge is judge. Judges are the minister judgment. He said, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, that the blind will see, to give beautiful ashes. He said, to proclaim the vengeance of our God. He said, to proclaim the vengeance. The vengeance. To proclaim the vengeance of my God. To judge. Luke chapter 4. Jesus opened the book. Jesus opened the book. He said, this day is the scripture fulfilling your hearing. He began with the anointing. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he ended on the judgment seat. He said, don't proclaim judgment. Don't proclaim the vengeance of my God. The acceptable year. The acceptable year is the year of vengeance. He said, the prince of this world must be judged. The system of this world must be judged. The kingdoms of this world, let the image that Daniel saw, the image of silver, the image of gold, the image of iron, the image of bronze, they must be judged by the sense of the Most High. That stone you saw, that invisible stone, at the sense of the Most High, I judge his ordained on the earth. Judge his anointed and ordained by God. The invisible stone, the stone cut with them hands, I judge it. And judges arise. Judges arise. Judges arise. Arise in your scepter. Arise, take your scepter. And administer justice and judgment. Arise. Arise. Judges arise. 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 And declare. Declare and enforce. Declare and enforce the vengeance of your God. Enforce the vengeance of our God. Enforce the vengeance of our God. Enforce the vengeance of our God. In the name of Jesus. Enforce. Enforce the vengeance. Oh. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. Deliverance to the captive. Healing to the sick. I choose for beauty. The spirit of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise. And to declare the vengeance of our God. Darkness was destroyed. Evil must be judged. Now is the prince of this world judged. Now is the prince of this world condemned. For this purpose, what the Son of God manifested, that he may undo the works of the evil one, that he might roll back, that he might roll back what the evil one has done. For this purpose, was Jesus manifested that he might run back? Friend, that's why we're here. We are judges of the Most High. We are judges. We are judges with the authority of the King of Kings. With the authority. We are judges. We are not speaking with our voice. We are speaking with the voice of the King. The king that cannot be denied, that cannot be turned back. The king that cannot be disobeyed by the elements of life. We are speaking with his voice. We are touching with his voice. We are administering justice and judgment with his voice. Jesus said, I sit on thrones. And you too, you will sit on thrones. You will sit on thrones with me. judging the tribes of Israel and touching the whole world. He that overcometh, he that overcometh, we sit with me on my throne, on my throne, on my throne. He said, I saw the Lord God sitting on throne. Revelations. I saw the Lord God sitting on throne. Sitting on throne. And I saw other thrones. I saw thrones. I saw thrones. Thrones of judgment. Jesus told the disciples, in the generation, when I sit on my throne, you too, you will sit on thrones. You will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, judging the sons of Israel. We are saints of the Most High. We will judge the world. He said, the saints will judge angels. The saints will judge angels. And we will judge the world. We will judge angels. We say the saints. The saints will judge angels. We will judge angels. Noah by his righteousness. Noah by his righteousness condemned the world. Noah by his righteousness judged the world. In the name of Jesus. Our portfolio is larger than we know, larger than we perceive. Let us stay. Stay your spirit man. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By your tongue. Stay Robin's impartation in your spirit. In your spirit is there. Is there nothing new is coming? Stay it up. Stay, stay. Stay up. What you call impartation? What you call impartation? Is study what is inside. Let the water level inside begin to rise. Let the water level begin to rise. Let it rise to your knee. Let it rise to your ankle. Let it rise to your loins. Let it be a river that carries you. Let it be a dispensation that carries you. Let it be a dimension. A dimension that possesses you. That possess your worm. Let it rise, that river. Let that river is rising from your inside. Let that river rise from within. From within, he that believes on me. Out of his belly. Out of his belly. Out of his belly we flow. We flow rivers of living water. The river that they seek and saw. That river is in your spirit. Ezekiel, revise your spirit. Let it rise. Let it rise to your ankle. From your ankle, let it rise to your knee. From your knee, let it rise to your loins. Let it rise. And from your loins, let it be a river. Let it be a possession of possession. Let the waters possess you. Let the waters of the anointing, the waters of the spirit, let it possess, let it take over. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, let the river within. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. 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 Let the river flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. The river in our spirit. Let it flow, flow ancient river flow, flow the waters of life flow, flow. Let the river flow, flow the nations with glory and power, flood our lives, flood our lives, flood our lives, oh flood our lives, flood the nations. Flow, river, flow, 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 let the river flow, Let the river flow. Let the river flow. 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 River of life. River of life. The waters of life flow. Flow. In the name of Jesus, the flow. Flow. Let the river 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 flow. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Male. Hello. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Flow in the name of Jesus. Malekato. You are a strong man. You are a strong man. You are a strong man. A strong man that cannot be bound, but can only bind. You are a strong man that cannot be bound, but can only bind. So whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. You have the final say. What you say on earth is established in heaven. You decree on earth. Your decrees on earth stands in heaven. It cannot be altered. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. It cannot be more true than that. It cannot be more true than that. It cannot be more holistic than that. He said, as you speak in heaven, we establish ordinances in heaven, standing on the earth. Whatever we bound on earth is bound in heaven. We make decrees on earth. It cannot be altered in heaven. We make decrees on earth. If it stands even in heaven, it cannot be altered. It cannot be altered. We make decrees. We make decrees. We enforce that which is written. This honor we have, and this honor have all the saints. This honor we have. This honor we have, and this honor have all the saints. In the name of Jesus, to execute the judgment that is written. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Psalm 149. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their pears. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment, the judgment that is written. Is all I have all the same. They say we are judges, judges by kings. Kings stand before judges. Judges don't stand before kings. Judges stand before judges. A judge can only stand before another judge. They don't stand before kings. We are more than kings. We are judges. We don't stand before kings. We stand before the judge. Judges stand before judges. From the judgment seat, you can only go to another judgment seat. Till you get to the supreme judgment seat. Outside of there, there is not a final stop. There is nowhere to go. A supreme seat. It's a supreme seat. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Judges govern the realm. The Apostle Paul was brought before kings. The Apostle Paul was brought before kings. When they wanted to thwart a judgment, Paul said, I appeal unto Caesar. I appeal unto the judgment seat of Caesar. I appeal from the judgment seat. From the judgment seat in Israel. In Jesus, he appealed to the judgment seat in Rome. He said, I appeal unto Caesar. I appeal unto Caesar. When Paul was not getting judgment on the judgment seat of those men of Agrippa, of Felix, and of Festus, he said, I appeal unto Caesar. And those kings was helpless. Because kings are not the supreme beings. Kings are not the supreme authority judges. We are the supreme authority on earth. We are kings. We are judges. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pray. 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 Pray.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I say something in the morning that in this end time is going to be a power play of wisdom. You know, look at it. So many people with good intentions are not enough. You must be very, very wise. He said the scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. He said we do so many things and then not understanding certain things, Satan still take advantage of us. Now, look at how he penetrated deep into the heart of Israel. This is not just a power play. It's a wisdom play. Now, you know, I give you an analogy of kings. He first of all make sure Israel had king. You know, God was covering that nation. He was taking them. God was teaching and discipling them, trying to form them together as a society. That's why the whole structure crumbled. We had to abolish the old covenant and start a new covenant. You know, structure, he made sure he brought them to the kingship. And then, like I told you, he began invading the land first through the wife of Solomon. Those women that Solomon got. It's a high-level tech wisdom. Satan himself is wisdom. You've seen his description of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you know. So, the wives of Solomon. Then even there, Solomon still had a measure of strength. He didn't allow his wives to live in that house. He built houses for them. Those like that in those early times. But you cannot begin to see that the strength, you know, their strength begin to ebb. Solomon, like that, to some extent, he gathered them somewhere. But, you know, that's how seducing spirit invaded Israel. Then they began growing. Then the fullness of their operation was in Jezebel. If you read the book of Revelation, you see Jezebel there. The Bible says she was a prophetess. But I'm showing you her genealogy, her chronology. You know, those were those seducing spirits. They now become a prophet. He said, they now become prophet. Who will seduce my people to eat in sacrifice to idol and to blood? You know those counsel they heard in Acts chapter 15? And then they said they should not eat anything strong. That letter that they wrote to the Gentiles. Jezebel had transformed in, and then seducing God's people to do the very same thing. You know, that counsel take decision about. But just follow the story. So then in Jezebel, then they became their fullness of manifestation king. Then they now possess the king. Because Jezebel was the one now ruling. They now began ruling the land. Those seducing spirits. All those wickedness of Ahab. They say, who? The wife stirred him up to do. See, the king as wicked as Ahab. whom the West stirred him to do. It was in his day that all those Jericho, those wall of Jericho that he started building them. A lot of things, a lot of potters, even potters started opening the sweet one. You know, so they now began. And what was her goal? What did she do? When she sat on the throne, when those seducers, when they invaded the land, I told you, first of all, they planted king. Satan planted king. And when they wanted the king, what did they say? They said they want a king that will fight their battles. You think it's the Philistine they are talking about? At that time, they were there because either you are one with God's will or you are one with the will of the devil. Who will fight their battle? The battle was talking about standing against God's counsel on earth. They wanted a king who will help them to fight their battle. The battle they want to fight is God. Who will help? They wanted a king to. That's why those kingly order, those arrangements, those things that Daniel saw, all those things are linked together. All of those things, they stood to oppose God's counsel. The Bible says they sought to change the times and the law. Right? Yes, in Daniel 7. He said they sought to change the times and the law, to change the ordinance on the earth. All of those kings that you saw. And then that invisible stone you saw, he said they were the saints of the Most High. That, he said the kingdom and all of those, the kingdom is represented in people. Even the kingdom of heaven we're talking about, Jesus himself is the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So that sense of the Most High you saw, you know, and then will take and possess the kingdom, you know, and then usher in everlasting righteousness. And that stone you also saw, we are part of that stone. You know, so when they said a king that will help us to fight our battle. And I told that battle they want to fight is God himself. They were aligned, they were one with the will of the Satan. So they were speaking his mind. They didn't even know what they were saying. You remember those guys said that crucify him. What did the Bible say? They don't even know what they were saying. Satan has already taken over the institution, the religious institution of the day. They were just shouting, crucify him. Crucify. Were they the one that was speaking, or Satan was the one that was speaking? He said, had they known, they would not have what? Who crucified the King of Glory? If they knew, they would not have crucified him. He said, crucified him. When they were shouting, crucified him, somebody else was speaking. So when they said, the king that will help us fight our battles, it was not, you think it's Philistine. It was Jehovah himself. And then the king, Israel, I told you 42 kings. Only 10 of them served God. The remaining 32 kings were evil kings. The remaining 32. Only 10 were righteous, were good kings that did the will of God, that tried to serve his situation. But the remaining 32 kings were evil kings. They stood and opposed God on earth. You know. Remember, look at the anger. Look at God. God said, for 33 years, I kept rising up early, sending my prophets to you, but you will not listen. 33 years every day. Those guys tried to weary God out and weary his counsel on it. You see the wisdom which Satan used to operate. So you can't giddy, just be doing things anyhow. I'm tongue talking, devil chasing. Just be making noise. You are making noise and he's sweeping your feet. Wisdom. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Right? That you may be filled with what? Please let me quote that scripture. That Ephesians 1. That the Lord will fill you with the spirit of wisdom. He will fill you with which spirit? Which spirit? It's the Holy Ghost that will come upon you, but he will come in the dimension of wisdom. Fill you with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. That's why I'm making so much noise. And then Satan is running a lot of show here. In wisdom. Wisdom. That's why I gave Solomon wisdom to build. Wisdom. Praise the Lord. So you can see how he operated and he took Israel. It was not a power play. You see the way he operated in the garden. When Adam had not sinned, with a wave of his finger, he could not confront Adam with power. So that's why he took another rule. It was another wisdom. Look at the way he came. That was the operation of wisdom. What did they say? The serpent deceived me. He took them, you know. He took their fortresses of strength, you know, and knowledge by another wisdom. It was a superior, they've not seen that operation before. They don't even know it. And then he brought it and he swept them from the garden. So the person we are dealing with is not the one giddy, makakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakakak greedy, greedy, and all of those things, you will have run a lot of ravages. That's why Paul had wisdom to deal. Even Jesus too. Jesus too dealt with him with wisdom. He kept yielding. He kept yielding. All of those in wisdom. High level of wisdom Jesus operated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you see how, can you see their timeline? And then when they start on the tour, what did they say? The first thing he did was to kill God's prophets. That's what Jezebel did. He killed the voice of God in the land. Can you see? He said about the king. Those seducing spirits now invaded the land. They fell upon the king. And through that medium of kingship, God, that's how Jezebel could have authority in Israel. How would Jezebel operate in Israel when you have a Samuel? When you have a Joshua? When you have an Elijah? Maybe ruling. Oh, it's not possible. But then when they are the kings, the prophets are always in the back office. You know. Praise the Lord. How will you have a Jezebel coming to the throne? So when he took the throne, the first thing he did was to kill God's prophet. And then he raised her own prophets. They say 850 prophets that were killed in one day. What is the strength and the strength of Israel at that time? Populate, he killed, silenced the voice of God in that land. Then they raised up their own voices. It's not the voice of Jezebel. Jezebel has transmuted to become a spirit. A spirit, you know. A spirit to do the counsel, the will of the evil one. So he filled the land with our own prophets. And those were those prophets that Elijah judged. And then not only that, you go to the book of Revelation, Jezebel herself has become a prophet, has become a voice. Has become a voice in, even in God's own temple. But you see the timeline of that operation.
I sense something. I just want us to call our attention to it. And that is just, with you in unity in the spirit. In unity in spirit. That is the only reason why we can grow up together and we can...
I think that's one of the core purpose of this fellowship. Unity. We understand the authority and submission.
Praise God. This wasn't clear initially when it came. But later, when Bro Charles came up the other time, and we were praying, there were doors, but closed, and a lion governing many doors. But after the man of God came up, and we were praying again, immediately the lion stood, the entire doors were opened. And when he was talking now that he will raise a king to fight our battle, the Spirit of God whispered to me that the lion now is the king that has been prepared to usher into the doors that have been opened. The wisdom is demanded so as not to become a victim, just like Husa.
Any other person? All right. In the absence of any, let's come together, let's hold the hand.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, God, even as we say, there is an operation of wisdom in the order of kings. The order of kings in the Bible, God also is wise. God divided into two kingdoms, even when it was not his will, to preserve the heritage for himself. He broke Israel into two. He separated Judah unto himself. And after he broke them into two, of the 20 kings that Judah eventually had, 8 of them at least were good kings. We had an Hezekiah, we had Josiah, and all of them. So God is a wise one. The scripture referred to me as the only wise God. Father, thank you. Thank you because you are the wise one. And thank you because in you we are wise ones. Thank you. Thank you for the atmosphere that is open. Thank you for the door, all the many multiple doors that are open. Thank you for this opening. We have seen it. And that we should see become ours. What we see we possess in the spirit realm. In the spirit we live our eyes. Live our eyes. What we see, we'll see the kingdom and we'll possess it. Thank you, Father. Beholding us in the glass, the glory of God, as we behold that glory, will become that glory. Thank you because we receive eyes in Jesus' name. Thank you because our eyes are open. Thank you because we see. Thank you because we see further. We see further. Thank you because we continue to see. Thank you because today we have received eternal eyes. Eyes that will continually see in Jesus' name. Thank you because our tongues are open. Thank you because we speak your voice. Thank you because you begin to speak forth with your voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because your word is in our spirit. You told Jeremiah, put my word in your mouth, but us, you have put your word in our spirit. And anytime we speak in the spirit, we speak a mystery, we speak ancient things out of our spirit. Upon that path, oh Father, we begin to journey in Jesus' name. We begin to go from strength to strength. We begin to go from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, we are constituted judges. So we begin to work in our offices in Jesus' name. We enter it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the entrance that is open. Thank you because it will forever remain open in the name of Jesus. We administer justice over our lives. Certain things that have been, there are things that are peculiar to every one of us to administer. There's a dimension and a dispensation of God that is cut out for every one of us who begin to operate in the fullness of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. The path of a just, our path is like this shining light that shines brighter. That shines brighter. It will get brighter. Day by day, it will be brighter. In the name of Jesus, we walk in the realm of light. We walk in the realm of power. In the name of Jesus, every besetting sin, we break their hold in Jesus' name. The curse of sin is broken over our lives in Jesus' name. Righteousness becomes the template of our life. Oh, righteousness becomes our heartbeat. Even the panting and the longings of our heart in Jesus' name. We receive a new appetite for truth. We receive a new appetite for holiness. We receive a new appetite for righteousness. Our zeal receive a new appetite in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we are judges. We administer justice. We administer judgment. So for judgment have come into this world that the blind will see. And those who see will become blind. We step into the fullness of that office in Jesus' name. Amen. To proclaim and to enforce the vengeance of our God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. To take the kingdom of this world and make them the kingdom of our Lord and our Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. As we take the people, the sons of this world and make them the sons of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And also pray for Christ especially on this network and so many network that is represented here. So many bodies, so many works that is represented here. I breathe forth life into them in Jesus' name. Receive a new dimension in Jesus' name. Let the water within us begin to rise. The waters within you begin to rise. And even every work has his own waters. Let the waters begin to rise in Jesus' name. Let it become a river that eternally will begin to carry every system, every soul, every life, everything amongst us and within us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this new breath. Receive that breath in Jesus' name. Receive the breath of life. A new and afresh in Jesus' name. Receive a new perspective of it. Thank you, our Father. It is prayed, it is spoken that will be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We step into the fullness of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Into the literal manifestation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, our Father. And above all, our relationship with the Holy Spirit takes a new page. Amen. It takes a new turn. Amen. Every one of us here in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Father, we receive a new breath into our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. A new journey of intimacy opens for every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. It's never going to be like it was before. Amen. Because there can be more. After more, there can be more. It's an eternal opening that we have. So we are not satisfied with what we are seeing and what we are receiving. As we are receiving, we are saying there is more. So for we receive more in the room of intimacy in Jesus' name. In the room of understanding and laying hold of God in Jesus' name. Paul received so much, but he said there is more. I stretch forth for that which I am apprehended of God that I may apprehend. Father, we thank you. I say the Lord bless you. I say the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. Amen. The Lord prosper you. Amen. The Lord met the needs of your life. Amen. Material and spiritual in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless the works of your hand. Amen. The Lord by wisdom open your eyes to see. Amen. Even in the natural and the secular. Things that you bring that will bring forth prosperity into your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, last day you opened a door of prosperity to me. You just opened my eyes to see. And I saw it and I began walking in that path. And I received manifold blessings. Our Father, I bring that same dimension to them, even in higher more, pattern according to their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I say, the Lord God, open your eyes. Amen. Open your eyes to begin to see. To Amen. Begin to see the pathway into wealth. To begin to see the pathway into a fulfilling and a blissful marriage. These things has a path. You must walk that path to see them. The Lord, open your eyes to see the pathway into ministry. And to having a fulfilling and a blessed ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Give you praise and glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. You guys will pray for me.
So as we are led, let's stretch forth our hands to our Father. And let's stretch forth our hands and pray.
Can you go ahead and bless the man of God? Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As you have said, so shall it be in the name of Jesus. And cumulatively, Father, we ask that your grace and your peace be multiplied unto him, even in all wisdom, in all understanding, in the knowledge of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that deeper realms and dimensions of your glory you will show unto him, in the name of Jesus. The next time, Lord, by privilege, you grant us to fellowship together, we will see a newer dimension in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we say thank you. We appreciate you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Before we share the grace, can we just lift up our hands and speak into this church? They've been so wonderful to us, giving us everything that we needed for this program to be a success. Can you just speak into the church? Pray for the pastor, the shepherd of this church, for his family. They've been so supportive, the children, every one of them, that God will visit them as well, that the same God who has visited us in this program will come mightily and visit them. We bless every member of the church. We bless, as you have said, so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Shall we share the grace together?
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Tonight, to put a nation on your heart.
Oh Lord.